Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this, thank God it's Friday edition, and I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
John Boudreaux, good morning, everyone.
What is up?
Not too much. Looking forward to some NFL football this weekend.
Yeah.
Won't get to watch much of it since we got to wake up so early, but you know, at least I'll be able to catch some of it.
Championship Sunday.
Amen. I'm excited.
Who you picking?
It's so tough seeing how well the Patriots played on last Sunday.
Yeah, they kind of fooled everybody, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just when you thought they were vulnerable, including me. I was one of them.
I was too.
Their defense has been so suspect all year, and they looked like world beaters.
They did. But
you knew Brady was going to do his thing, but it just, could the defense shut the opponent down? And they most certainly did.
I think it was the last five, I believe, AFC championship games, whoever's at home wins. So that's in the favor of the Chiefs. And I don't know how the Chiefs are going to do, but all I know is Mahomes is a whole nother world. He's a whole nother world good.
So is Tom Brady.
Amen to that. That's why he's the best.
That's why they call him the GOAT.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, I learned one thing a long time ago. If you want to bet on New England, just bet on them to win every game of the year. You'll come out way ahead. If you bet on them to lose, you'll lose.
You'll lose
everything. Yeah. So that'll be a good game. And then the Saints and the Rams, that'll be another good one.
I'll definitely be pulling for the hometown boys.
You got to go with the Saints.
I got to go.
They're right next door. Man, our Cajun friends over there.
It's in my heart. They're only about 100 miles from me.
That's it.
Yeah.
They're from the right coast, not the left coast. So we're gonna go with those boys. Well, cool. Our sponsors today for today's show, Skeeter's Auto Service, Texan Roofing, McLean Trailers, and Mainstream Marketing. Right now, Galveston, 60 degrees down on the island. It even feels like 60. Winds are pretty light out of the west right now. It's cloudy. They're calling for a 30% chance of rain today, maybe a tenth of an inch. Could be an isolated thunderstorm here or there, but high will be 66 with winds south at 10 to 20. Up here on the high ground, our temperatures should reach around 70, 72. And then tonight, 90% chance of rain, and looks like thunderstorms are going to be late, low of 53, and winds will be south-southwest ahead of that front at 15 to 25 miles per hour. And then tomorrow it'll be becoming quite breezy with northwest winds at 25 to 35 miles per hour. So whenever that front comes through, you're out on the water, be sure you can get in and beat that in. You don't want to get caught out there in that. Marathon's tomorrow, too. Hopefully they can get that in before the front hits and we'll have to run in those high winds. Temperatures, I think tomorrow will be about 59 and they'll drop into the 30s pretty quick once that front comes through. And it's not going to be near as cold as they said it was going to be, which is pretty much normal for way ahead forecasts like they were predicting about 3 or 4 days ago. But right now, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, we have 59, make it 60-degree water temperature out there, 60-degree air, winds are west at 7, gusting to 9, wave heights are 1.3 feet, and no period on the wave period. There's not a prediction on there, but barometric pressure is 30.13 inches and steady. Eagle Point, we have a west-southwest wind at 6 to 8, and water temp and air temp are the same, 58 degrees. And at Morgan's Point, we have a north wind at 2. So not too awfully bad. Good start out anyway this morning. Looks like tides for today, we're on a four-tide schedule. We have a low It's 7:28 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It's a negative 0.8. Then we have a high at 3:58 p.m. It's a 1.1. Then a low at 8:44 p.m. an 0.8. Then a high at 11:26 p.m. an 0.9. Sunrise this morning, 7:14 a.m. Sunset this evening, 5:45 p.m. Our moon phase is 84%. We're headed towards our next full moon. So this will be your last weekend in South Texas for buck season. You know, you'll have two more weeks of spike and doe, but this ought to create quite a good movement for you deer hunters that are making that last weekend trip. Maybe you'll get some good movement. Somebody will kill a big buck because it's, you know, the rut's still going in a lot of places down there and quite a bit of movement. All right. As we always do, let's start off this Friday morning with a hammer. Captain Glenn Hammond, let's go over to the Tri-Bay area and see what's up with him. Good morning, Glenn. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, buddy. How are you, Captain?
Couldn't be better. Everything's well.
Great. Well, I'm sitting here waiting for the fog to roll in. They claimed that depending on the overcast that we had last night, if it cleared up a little bit, we'd have some fog. But I guess it's still cloudy.
I had some patchy stuff and low areas coming in out my way this morning, but it so far so good, and I'm not getting any fog warnings on any of my stations up and down the coast. You know, alerts on it anyway.
Well, good. And anybody out driving, in case they run through it, be careful. But it's zero wind on my little machine this morning, and I see some moisture out there, a little bit of fog, but we don't have very much wind, maybe 4 miles an hour out of the southwest, it looks like.
Yeah.
But it's been a slow week for me. Hadn't had too much going on, a few honeydews, and then when I heard the world was coming to an end with all the freezes and stuff,
yeah.
I headed off like everybody else to the hardware store and loaded up my truck, and I spent a day around here doing my windows and my doors, and we're in a cabin, and up underneath the pipes are kind of exposed, you know what I mean? So I haven't put any insulation around them in a long, long time, so I did that, just for safety factor, because if it's going to pop, On these beach houses being elevated where that wind can get up underneath it, you know what
yeah.
I mean? It gets that wind chill factor. But, no, I think we'll survive this one, and you're right. It's getting better as it goes along. I mean, first we were going to have, they said it was going to be like 25 degrees in Houston and 30
wind chill
in
the teens and all that. And just,
man.
Doom and gloom.
Yeah. But
and they wonder why nobody leaves when a hurricane comes anymore.
I know. The weather changes just momentarily, I'm telling you. I didn't do anything this week hardly at all, man. Saturday morning I had a couple of neighbors right here in the neighborhood, and very lifelong friends, Brandon and Steve and myself, hopped on the boat, and there was about 20 mile an hour northwest winds by the time we got out there, and I found one little old clump of bushes, and I pulled a big old Carolina skiff up in there and got out of that northwest wind. And we caught, I think we had 6 keeper trout and probably threw back another handful of 5 or 10 dinks. But really, we were mostly excited about putting the boat back on the trailer, coming home and watching some football on that Saturday morning. It was some good games on. But we didn't do worth a darn. And then, you know, the story Monday and Tuesday and 20. Well, I wish I could have got out there on Tuesday. I didn't. I was able to get out there yesterday, but, man, it wasn't anything going on. I caught 2 or 3 little bitty old small trout. And about time I did, the wind was all blown. We've had in our little area right here, and I know it's like a broken record, man, any kind of east or in northeast or you know, a hard south wind blows right up the pipe, and you know, I do a lot of winter fishing in the canals and stuff down here in the wintertime, and you just need I don't know if it's due north, you can kind of get out of it a little bit, but we want a southeast, and of course everybody wants a southeast. We're not catching any redfish, we're not catching any flounder, we're still throwing soft plastics, not doing any bait, putting any bait on the boat. The darker color salt plastics have still been working with us. The water clarity has been okay, I guess. yesterday, we've had these long incoming tides. And I mean, we've had long outgoing tides in the night. And I don't know if that's doing it, but during the day, it brings in all that water right here at the Brazos River, that dirty water, that fresh water still going out the jetties and gets pushed along the intercoastal canal and pushes up through Drum Bay and the back ends of Christmas and stuff. So it's not a beautiful picture down here, but you can usually manage a handful of fish, you know, if you go out, you know, and just go out and start throwing some soft plastic. Hey, man, Brandon on that Saturday surprised me and gave me a Lele. I'm a brand new owner, my first Lele, and I can't wait to throw that thing.
You don't have any Leles yet?
No, I'm so far behind, man. They got to pipe me sunlight out here. I'm so far back in the woods. I'm so far out of date, man. I'm like a dinosaur. All my friends have all these fancy things and lures. But anyway, I got one of them, and I'm a twitch it. I'll tell you what, he threw it out there in about the third cast, caught a little 14-inch trout. So, and from what I've been hearing about him, I'm really, really excited to get out there.
They catch fish. That's all they do is catch fish. They throw good, and they last long, and just make sure you got good line, tie a good knot, because they're not cheap.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And this one's pink with kind of silver on the side.
That'll work. That's proper color this time of year, man.
Man, oh, man.
I had met many trout that would turn pink down. And wait till you get around any redfish with them. They'll swim a long ways to eat a lily. Those redfish love them. They eat them up.
Well, I had a cancellation this morning, and I'm dying to get out there. Anybody
go out there and practice.
On a short notice, come on down and go with me this morning, because the weather looks like it's going to be okay. The winds are down. Man, they got to be biting. I know the son of a guns. They were locked up on us, you know, during that northwest wind and all those fronts when they blow through. They've already done their feet. The feed and the eating is already done. So it's just one or two days a week. You can jump out there and get on them. And unfortunately, I just didn't. Yesterday on the boat ride, my wife and I and the dogs went out. And I caught a couple little bitty old dings. I didn't even measure them, but the wind was blowing the wrong way. The current was going the wrong way. Just couldn't get things lined up in my favor. So, I looked around the area and looked at the bait camps and stuff, and it looks like there's some live bait in the area. I did see some white flags, live bait,
yeah.
Live shrimp. If somebody wants to come down here and use bait. There's several boat ramps, and depending on the draft of your boat and everything, you may want to launch it a beach bait and tackle right underneath the bridge there at Surfside. It's on the Freeport side of the bridge,
yeah.
But it's right underneath on the intercoastal canal for your bigger boats. And there's always that real nice ramp down at St. Louis Pass, and there's one on Christmas Bay that's been there for the old size bait camp.
The old size bait camp, not put mm-hmm. in there before.
And that's a decent little a boat ramp right there for a moderate sized boat. And, you know, I wouldn't put no deep V in there, but that's a decent ramp down there. Usually got a clean porter can in the parking lot, and you know what I mean. Early in the mornings, it's gotcha. Yes, sir. It's good to have a few things around. But let's see. Besides yard work and looking at mud puddles out in the fields, there ain't much going down, man. It's just we're still sopped and
it's soaked. That time of year. Yeah, everything's wet and soggy, and it's what it is, man.
I looked a year ago back in my log, and I wasn't doing any good fishing back then either. So anyway, that's Captain, that's about all.
All right, Glenn. Well, hey, throw them a number out. Somebody wants to call you.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0683. Y'all have a great day, buddy.
We'll do it. You too, Glenn. See you.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 419 in the Bayou City. Let's run up Fayette County way and see what's going on with Mr. Bob Green this morning. Morning, Bob. What's happening?
Good morning. Well, just waiting to see what the weather is going to do to us this week. Weekend, this week, coming up week.
Waiting on the big blizzard. That's what it sounded like earlier in the week. We were pulling a blizzard.
You know, and it changes from day to day. You try to pull it up.
Yeah, it does.
And it just, one day says 28, next day says 31, 32. It just too early to tell. Just got to wait and see. You know, I'm not, I don't have any trips until Friday of next week. So it's just going to be day by day, see what happens. But I tell you, it's been, you know, it's been a weird week. Everything I caught, the 2 days that I fished was on drop shot, period.
Yeah.
Just like last week. And most everything was, you know, around 20, anywhere from 18 to 24 feet, which doesn't surprise me, except the water temperature has jumped all over the place. And if we're going to start hitting these 30s, you know, for about 3 or 4 days, it's gonna change again too next week. Now, yeah, I agree that surface temp and these fish is coming out of that deep water are feel like little chunks of ice. But a lot of them have got the old dark spots we always get this time of year when they get ready to spawn. They've got those spots on them already, a lot of them. Now, yeah, I tell you what confused me yesterday is I talked to Mark, my buddy that we fished together, and they were out. Now, get this, they're catching, they caught fish with frogs throwing up next to the reeds. And then crankbaits, you know, little sexy shad type crankbaits that running about anywhere from 6 to 8 feet deep. So it was a mixed bag of the way to catch fish for them yesterday, but water temperature then was 66, 67. Well, that's the same thing it was this week, 66, 67. But I guarantee you next week it's not going to be that.
No,
so it's, you know, I didn't throw the little Cinco baits like we had thrown that day we were out. Mm-hmm. And I had one tied on, but I was just so busy trying to chart a bunch of areas out there that they should normally be stacked on. You know, it's, you know, usually always this time of year, all the way through the end of January, those fish are, you know, are staging to go in and spawn. But from what I heard yesterday, there's going to be some fish already up there trying to dump some eggs. I mean, there's not any doubt about it. So they may be, maybe they're a little earlier.
A little early phase, a certain pile of fish. It may want to get in there first, you know, you know how it is. It goes in waves. Not all of them do it at one time anyway. So
no. And when's this moon going to be full? Probably
a couple of days. What are we at right now? 84%. So yeah, we got about 3 or 4 more days.
Okay. So that'll put us on a full moon. A lot of times on this full moon, it does a little push on these fish.
Yeah, you get some movement, you know, like with your wildlife and your fish, everything. You get pretty good movement, and it'd be a good way to wrap up buck season in South Texas this weekend with this full moon coming ahead of it. There ought to be some good movement down there, especially with that front coming and weather change. And somebody ought to kill a big one in the last rattle out of the box.
I tell you what, the deer up there around the plant and all, where we come out on them peninsulas and all, somebody rang the bell and told them deer season was over here, because they're just everywhere.
Now you see them all over.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's funny. And then my trail camera up here, it showed a really nice 8-point, and he made it through the season, so hopefully he'll do well. And then I had a couple hogs showed up on it, but not enough that, you know, they'll tear up the ground. This old ground, well, it's soft enough now, but even this ground's still hard enough with all the rock in it that you can't see any signs of where they've been back there, and that's unusual. Them hogs usually tear that ground up pretty good, but I saw a couple of them. They look like they were about 80 pounds. They'd be good eating anyway.
Yeah.
Drop one of them. But, well, as far as this, the fishing, you know, I mean, the lake water's in good shape and all. And then we had that little rain again. No, what day? It just kind of missed it all day long and nasty looking, but I don't know how much rain they're talking about coming through, you know, with this front. Not that much, I don't think.
Man, I wouldn't think so. Well, certain areas of the state may get up to a couple inches, but, you know, if that Sam Rayburn watershed, if they get a couple inches, they'll be going over their emergency spillway. It'll break an all-time record. They're real close to doing it right now. And that's a lot of water.
Well, I know the Brazos was pumping.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Trinity is about normal. It could be a little up a little bit, but it's not pumping like that Brazos River is doing. So,
boy, it is down here on my end. It's roaring like a lion.
Oh, I guess it was, like, 2 weeks ago I told you we went through Liberty and that water was up underneath. It was close to that railroad trestle.
Yeah, it's still that way. It's right below it.
And, really?
Yeah. I remember earlier, what was it, November, it was touching the bottom of it.
Good gosh.
It's been relentless since October. That river has not give us a break. That Trinity's been roaring like a lion.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, it's going to be interesting this week to see what happens and if it knocks us back and what it does to the water. You know, they're running plant, you know, all the plants. It's just, this surface temp, if I try to tell you what the temperature is in any certain part of the lake, it's going to vary, you know.
Oh, yeah.
With that current coming out of the discharge. No, that was the other thing. Threw a buzz bait up over the rocks in the discharge and actually had a fish hit it. One fish hit it, and I'm thinking, boy, you're just not right. You're not supposed to do that. As you want to confuse me just a little more or what?
Boy, no joke, man. Just when you thought, well, there's no way they're going to hit a buzz bait, and then you have one hit one like that. I love catching them on them buzz baits. That's a lot of fun when they're eating them. That's big time.
They do. Boy, they crush that thing.
Yeah, they do.
It's not normally, a small fish either. They're usually, every once in a while you will. But
yeah, but most of them, they're just good, solid quality fish, you know. Jumping on buzz baits like that.
Yeah. Well, it was, like I say, they've got me a little bum puzzle right now, but we'll figure them out. And I think they may be just a little early, but I'm gonna work. These boys that are fishing with me next week, they're pretty good fishermen, so we'll hit a bunch of stuff. And like I say, and those fish that my buddy Mark caught yesterday, he said there was a lot of them that had the black spots on them. So, you know,
That's hormone. Time. That's that hormone change. So, yeah. Hey, if they got that, it's fixing to go off, Bob.
Well, I guess it's that hormone change. I remember that guy that called in 15 years ago and said they were rubbing up against pine knot.
Yeah, I remember all that. Yeah, all them bass rubbing pine knots. You got it.
Yeah. that was weird.
Yeah.
You going to get to go back hunting down to South Texas?
No, it doesn't look like I'm going to make it. I've got another trip in the works right now. I'm trying to put together with a couple of guys where we go to Baffin and fish for big trout for 2 days, and then we go up to a ranch in Cotulla. Shoot some MLD bugs, you know, some cold bugs.
There you go.
About 10 of them, clean them off. We're trying to get our dates together and match up with Cliff Webb down there and see if we can get him for 2 days to fish with him and then go up and hunt this ranch for 2 days. So we'll see.
That sounds like a good deal.
Sure like to work that out. Yeah, I might have to take a day or two off for that trip.
You bet. Well, I hadn't heard. Where's Leslie at? She okay?
Yeah, she left. She doesn't work here anymore. She's
gone.
She moved on. She moved to New Mexico.
Well, I'll be there.
Little town outside of Santa Fe. Yep. She's out of here. She said she is officially out of the radio business after 40 years.
But she's been there a long time.
She has. And, you know.
I can't remember what she... Well, she's been, like I say, she's been around a long time.
Yeah, She has.
Leslie T.
Travis. That's it.
Travis. I'm sorry. Travis. Where did I get McIntyre from?
RB. He used to be the guy over there at Kilt FM, RB McIntyre. Remember him, too?
Oh, well.
Yep. Those were the days, man.
Just confused me a little bit. That's that fishing report this week really confused me, so it's got me, my whole mind screwed up.
It's January. It's what we do. All right, buddy.
Hey, it's gonna get good for sure. So
it will.
Anyway.
All right, man. Hey, throw your number out. Somebody wants to come up to Fayetteville and get it on.
It's 281-460-9200 or FayetteCountyBassFishing.com. Have a good Friday and a great weekend.
We're going to do it, Bob. You too, brother. Good luck.
Take care.
All right, man. All right.
Now, time for more of The Outdoor Show, presented by Hookspit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning here in the Bayou City. It's 4:37 as we move right along. We're going to head down Matagorda Way now. Go down to Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. We'll talk to Captain Bink Grimes, see what's shaking in his woods. Bink, what's happening?
Not much. This is a little Santana.
Little Santana. You bet, man. you heading to the killing fields?
We going to try to.
Well,
we're heading there right now. Yes, sir. It's been pretty steady is all I can say. It's been pretty, pretty steady. We've been blessed.
Yeah, y'all have.
It's, I tell you, it's been just talking with people up and down the Central Flyway and, man, see a lot of long faces and hearing a lot of, you know, people saying that they're just not getting them. And I think it's got a whole lot to do with a mild winter and a lot of rain. Talked to biologists in Kansas that surveyed those midwinter counts. And he said he surveyed a pond up there that he has never surveyed that has been open water. He said, you know, in all his years he surveyed it by plane, it's always been frozen up when they surveyed it. And he said, shoot, it's, you know, you could put a couple of inner tubes in there and enjoy yourself in there. It's such open water, you know, in Kansas.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that's got a lot to do with what's going on. You know, I said last week I was in Arkansas the first few days of the week, and you know, it's just they're struggling as well, and there's isolated pockets of ducks, you know, and we've been fortunate that we're on one of them.
that always helps, because I know a lot of guys that have had the worst season they've ever had, and a few other guys that have had as good a season as they've seen. So depends on where you're at, and you know.
Yeah, I've heard that, man, the worst season ever. I've heard that many, many, many times.
I have too, several times this year.
And you know, sometimes you hear that, you know, throughout long we've been hunting, but I haven't heard it from this many people, you know.
Right.
And I just kind of keeping it to myself and enjoying it. But you know, like I said last week, it's. When you're hunting established ground, established dirt, you know, it's those ducks, they come and I feel like they imprint on the place, and they you know, they bring their young back, you know, year after year. I looked at a spot yesterday with geese, and these geese have shown up for as long as I've lived down here, for 20 years in this one feedlot over here in Warren County. And I pulled up there yesterday, there had been a goose on, and I look over there, and they are all mingled with the cows. I've got photos back, I don't know, 15 years back with all these geese, and it's got to be the same bunch of geese year after year after year, because when the geese get here, you know, they hit the same fields first, it seems like, you know, in sport in Colorado County we see every year, and I just think I think it's the same bunch. And but you know, I just think they get on a pattern, and so.
Man, what was that goose that time Inman killed, and he sent the, you know, call the band in, and the lady said, this can't be right. You know, how long you had this band? He said, I killed the goose today. And she goes, there's no way. And I think he said, yeah. She said that goose was, what, 38 years old?
Something like that, yeah, because I remember it well, 38 years old.
How many frequent flyer miles did that goose have from Canada to here every year? Good Lord.
What has he seen, you know?
Yep.
I mean, in the band, you know, the band, you couldn't hardly read the numbers on it.
No, walking in the mud and stuff, it just, the grit and everything wears the numbers off. I killed a canvasback like that one time. It was real old. And I couldn't even call the numbers in because you couldn't read them. You couldn't determine what it said. You could see part of U.S. Fish and Wildlife on there, and that was it.
Yeah, I killed a redhead 3 years ago, and there was no trace of any number on it whatsoever. So we just put it on the lanyard and went and enjoyed it.
M.O. goose birds live longer than people think, and the older they get, the wiser they get. And you were talking about this imprinting deal, just kind of like our trout do. And I really believe that. You know, it's like the over my way, east of town, you still got the same big roost back there, that Highland Roost and Wildlife Refuge Roost. It's been there for as long as I've been around. And you know it's all family birds out of the same, you know, the same group.
It is. I mean, when you hunted as long as we have, and heck, I'm still a young man, but you've seen it, it's not coincidence. They show up at the same place, you know, about the same time every year. It's not coincidence. Those birds are, they've been there, and they're bringing back their young, and they're young or old now, and they're bringing their young. But the problem this year with the geese is there's not many young. I mean, I wasn't hunting them real hard. You know, I was hunting down there with you in 92 on the Fitzgerald Ranch. So I wasn't hunting this prairie. And we were killing geese, you know, a little bit, but I wasn't hunting the rice prairie back then hard like these guys. But they tell me, the old goose hunters around here tell me it, they hadn't seen a bat a hatch since 1992.
Yeah.
I have one buddy that used to, I guess he ran 100 days because like, it was 107-day goose season. He ran 100 days, and boy knows how to shoot them, knows how to kill them. If they can be killed, he's going to kill them. And he told me that day out of 100 days that 40 of those days, he no-shot zeroed on them.
Wow.
And he said it wasn't because they didn't have birds. And this guy can flat out get them. He said that was 1992.
Because he had old geese, wise birds.
Old geese. He said it wasn't like they were going in a field, but with, you know, and just praying that they'd see birds. They were on birds. And right now, that same guy, you know, he's an outfitter in East Bernard, and we were hunting together this week. And he said, you know, I'm telling people, he's not even really pushing goose hunts this year. You know, early you get your specs, but you know, he sat on what he thought was 15,000 geese. I guess last week, and let them sit for four days. And, you know, a year like last year when it was really good, you do that, you're going to probably shoot 30 to 35 with your eyes closed.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's really good, you're going to kill 50 to 70. But, yeah, he's telling people, hey, look, if I've got 15,000 geese, we're killing like a goose and a half per 1,000 right now. So a 12 to 15 bird shoot is this year is what's considered pretty good, you know. And you can kind of tell it on Fishbook, you know. Look, yeah, there ain't been a whole, if there was a lot of snow goose killing, you'd see it on social media.
Oh, yeah. I'm not seeing many dead goose pictures this year. Mostly duck, and then naturally fish. And, you know, I hadn't seen near the big deer on there this year that I normally do either.
Yeah. That's right. You know, if somebody, some youngsters, shooting a bunch of chickens out there. They're gonna put them up there.
Oh, you got that right. They're gonna put them sky carp on Facebook.
So it just had to happen, you know. And the funny thing is, we're kind of giggling, you know. Everybody thinks that you're gonna wave the magic wand at them when electronic caller season starts, and that just ain't gonna happen. I mean, Willie Nelson's gonna help a little bit. But he ain't gonna help that much.
He don't have the magic like he did back in the day. These geese have become wise to that also. And if you look at all the TV shows now, there is more pressure on the geese up north. There's more goose hunting going on up there than ever before. And these birds, I think a lot of those young birds that are in these flights, they're all thinned out before they ever make it to the coastal prairies, like the, you know, before they didn't. And or before they did, you know, you'd get a lot of young birds, and you know, it depended on your hatches too. But I'm not hearing of hardly any young dumb snow geese at all this year, little blues or snows or anything.
No, you're not. And that same outfitter I was talking about a while ago, you know, he runs trips to Canada and he shoots those snow geese. And he called me in September, right during teal season. He said, "You better get ready not to kill any snows this year." I said, "Really?" Because I go up there with him, and the year before it was so good, you know, we'd go up there and shoot them pretty good. And he said, you know, that first 2 weeks they killed, I don't know, 300-400 snow geese the first 2 or 3 weeks. And he said he counted four of them that had gray feathers. He said, you know, and that's the same birds that are coming down here. It's pretty true to form. You know, and then last year he called me before I got up there and he said, "Boy, we got a good hatch of them." And man, when we went up there, it was, you know, like last year, if we went in on 15,000 geese and we would kill 35 with our eyes closed on a, you know, it just ain't happening this year.
Yeah.
All because of young ones. But yeah, if people think they're going to wave a magic wand on this e-caller season, I'm not going to say somebody's not going to get them, because in February it's going to fall sometime and somebody's going to hit the glory hole. But as a whole, if you think you're going to change the world with full body decoys and you know, three or four electronic callers, and if you think you're going to set the world on fire, I hope you do. But If you're putting money on it in Vegas,
yeah, chances look a little slim. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
And the word I'm getting from Parks and Wildlife is this is it. Now, it's not official, but the word I'm getting is they're cutting the goose limits and back to 10, and we're not going to be able to hunt conservation season anymore, which is fine. I don't push it anyway, and heck, we're so daggum tired by the end of here. We kind of let them have it, you know. But that's the word I'm getting.
Huh.
Is e-caller season. This is it. Whether that's true or not, but that's the rumblings I'm getting from Austin. So,
well, that's amazing.
Which will,
have you heard anything feeling about any scoping meetings coming up? I mean, we're in a time of the year that word ought to be out. We ought to be getting mailers or emails or stuff, you know, on, you know, what they want to do about these, you know, upper coast trout limits.
Your trout, yeah. Yeah, I was wondering that the other day, because it's
time. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, February, you need to be meeting in February and March, and then they take the proposal in April and vote on it for usually, you know, for September. So that's kind of, but I haven't heard anything.
I hadn't either.
That's something. I mean, y'all need that.
Yeah, we do, but it's to the point now where it really doesn't matter to me. It should have been done 2 years ago, at least 2 years ago. And
I agree.
When we had that critical phase of the stack-ups and all the slaughtering going on, that's when it should have been done. But now it's, to me, it's kind of like old news. It just, it doesn't matter one way or the other to me now. Because the damage has already been done. Already been done, man.
Well, I think it's coming, but that's what they say. But like I said, I ain't heard anything on the meetings. It's gotta happen. I don't think anybody's going to push back on it up on y'all's end.
No.
If they have any,
well,
they,
there'll
they
be
won't,
a few.
You know?
That, there's a few that will. There's a handful of people that think it we shouldn't do it, and they think we got millions of fish, plenty of fish, but they get on one school and they just go to the same place every day with live bait and beat them up and beat them up and beat them up, and think that the whole bay is like that, and it's not. You know, I've been around here a long time, you know, 40 years professionally, yeah. And I know when Galveston Bay is healthy and right, and it's not right now. I mean, it's okay. I mean, we got a lot of recruits coming up, a lot of small fish, which we have that every year. But I'm talking about mature, solid fish. We're just, it's not like they're on every street corner. You got to be where they're at or you're not going to catch anything. And it just, you know, we just need to get it back like it should be and get it healthy and sustainable. And, you know, and habitat loss has cost us a lot too. People don't realize that plays a critical factor in drawing bait fish and everything else. It's all a big trickle-down cycle from, you know, you start out with your bait fish and go all the way through all your game fish, and you just were way off. There's a big imbalance. I think the only thing that's thriving in Galveston Bay, really thriving big time, is red drum populations, and they're mostly bull reds. Oversized
big dogs,
millions of them.
We're very appreciative of what it's done for ours. You know, I don't know if it's a combination of all the fresh water that we've gotten that's kind of rejuvenated our bays or whatever. You know, I know going down to five fish didn't hurt. It had to help. And you know, I look at, you know, lodge, you know, our lodge experience when you got 10 boats out. And it's one of those days when everybody catches them in 10 boats with three guys on them would normally come in with 30 trout, you know, and then because of the limit, we come in with 15.
Well,
and so that's,
you're saving, you know, 50% of your resource. That's right.
That's 150 less trout that are on that dock. And you know what? Those people could care less.
No,
there ain't a difference. There's not a, you know. And most of them don't even know when they come. You know, I can't tell you how many people ask you, well, what's the limit here? You know, and you got to tell them, you know, the size limit and all that. And they don't care. And
no,
you know.
It's about the outing. And the luxury with fishing is you can actually take a fish off your hook and throw it back in the water and let it swim off. You know, you don't have to kill it. And, you know, with hunting, you can't, there's no CPR in hunting. You either kill them or nothing, you know. So, well, hey, Bink, I got to roll. I'm already on a top of the hour break. Hey, if somebody wants to come down and stay in your lodge or hunt or fish with you guys, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, just find us at MatagorToSunriseLodge.com or catch us on Facebook or Instagram, 979-241-1705. You talking to Tommy this morning?
Well, I called him. He didn't pick up, so.
He had 104 fever as of 2 days ago. We went down to order a new boat, and he was sick on me in the truck. Didn't tell me, so I'm praying I don't get sick.
Oh, Lord.
But he's hurting right now. So
I bet he is. No wonder he didn't pick up this morning.
So,
all right, Bink. All right, hey, have a good day, man. Good luck to you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.